ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ शं नो मित्रः शं वरुणः शं नो भवत्वरियमा शं न इन्द्रो बृहस्पतिः शं नो विष्णुरुरुक्रमः नमो ब्रह्मणे नमस्ते वायो ब्रह्मासि त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्म वदिष्यामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्मामवतु तद्भक्तारमवतु अवतु माम् अवतु भक्तारम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ब्रह्मवित् परम् आप्नोति. The one who knows Brahman attains the absolute end, mokshaha. This is a prose sentence, a sentence in prose form. It's called Brahmana Vakyam. And one who knows Brahman attains the absolute. And this sentence triggers questions in our minds. What is that Brahman? How can I know that Brahman? If I know that Brahman, what I attain the param, what does the word param mean? What is moksha otherwise? These questions come in our minds. And for the first question, and the second, and the three, the following three questions. It's called Akanksha means, Akanksha means expectancy. I mean, in our minds, the interest comes, curiosity comes. Then these questions arise. Then there is a Mantra Upanishad. So Brahmana Vakyam is there. Then there's a Mantra comes. Mantra is from Rigveda, the brief answer, otherwise called Vritti Vakyam, the brief answer is from Rigveda. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma is the brief answer for what is Brahman. How to know Brahman? Brahman is available for recognition only in one's own mind as the very self. Other than that, it negates any other way of knowing Brahman. That's why recognition, I said. Brahman is available for recognition only in one's own mind. And once you know Brahman, all your desires, all your wishes become simultaneously fulfilled. That is the brief answer for what is moksha. And thereafter, what is Brahman? That was elaborately discussed through the Srishti Prakriya. And wherein we saw the whole prapancha has come into existence from Brahman, the Atma. When Upanishad stated that, Upanishad was very careful in making us see that Brahman is none other than the Atma itself. Therefore, Upanishad says, from that Brahman, the Atma, these elements and the elementals, the universe has come into existence. And the universe does not go into the details, how, what, how it has come into existence, etc. It just simply says how the elements and from the plants and then food, then from food, the all the living beings come into existence. So from that we understand Brahman is the Jagat Karanam, Jagat is the Karyam. If Jagat is the Karyam, Brahman is the Karanam, and Brahman must be as the Karanam, must be very much inseparably inherent in the very effect. How water is inherent in ocean, gold is inherent in ornament, inseparably. Wood is inherent in any furniture. So Brahman is very much inherent in this prapancha. And what form Brahman is, a cause must be only in the form of existence of the effect only. Because the removal of the cause will remove the existence of the very effect. Therefore, cause is always obtaining as existence of the, obtaining in form of existence of the effect. Therefore, Brahman is also available for us for experience, for objectification, for perception, as the very existence of every Namarupa, every object we experience here. For the object of experience, the object which is perceived through any of the means of perception, all the objects of perception, you know, have their existence only in Brahman. So Brahman is there as the existence of the perceived, experienced, observed, known, understood objects of knowledge. But that when we can never see an object, you can never talk about the existence of an object. Without knowing what that object is. Therefore, the existence of an object presupposes the knowledge. Therefore, the existence of the universe is what now? Actually, knowledge also. That is why once the word knowledge comes, it's available for recognition only in your own mind. Knowledge, a pure knowledge, cannot be known, cannot be recognized anywhere. Pure knowledge. You can understand the manifest knowledge. When you experience the whole Jagat, you are experiencing existence as the existence of the universe. You are experiencing Brahman as the existence of the universe. But without the universe, can I experience existence Brahman? You cannot experience pure existence. Because Jagat becomes the manifesting medium for the Brahman existence. The Jagat is not there, there is still pure existence. The Jagat is, there is manifest existence. Pure existence is Brahman. The manifest existence also is what now? Nothing but Brahman, the pure existence. The Jagat becomes the manifesting medium. Therefore, that we say, therefore, pure existence is Brahman. We arrive at that. That existence is none other than consciousness. And that consciousness, existence which is pure consciousness, which is available as the very self in the one's own mind, is of the nature of limitlessness. As a brief answer we had earlier, then we also understand it. This Brahman is pure existence. But still that pure existence, is pure existence available for objectification? No. But how is it available? It is available for recognition as pure consciousness. Pure existence is available for recognition as pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is available for recognition only as the self. Okay? So, Brahma Sakshi Rupenaiva Avagantavyam. only in the form of the witness Brahman has to be understood. Witness is what? Who is the witness? Consciousness, the Atma, the consciousness. Therefore we say Brahman is Atma, the consciousness only. But how to recognize Brahman as the pure existence, Brahman, as the pure consciousness, the Atma, or existence being nothing but consciousness? That is why we had this Srishti, this is Panchakosha Prakriya. Therefore, Upanishad, for this question, how to know Brahman? For that question, the elaborate answer is given through what now? This Panchakosha Prakriya. That means Panchakosha Prakriya, the analysis of five layers of personality is presented here in order to arrive at that consciousness. Why this analysis? Why this Panchakosha Prakriya? Because the for us, Aham, Atma, the Aham, is now in the essence is in the grossest physical body. And from this grossest physical body, to shift the I, to the subtlest consciousness, is needs a tremendous effort. In the sense, effort means what? The mind has to become very subtle. It is typically like, climbing a big mountain. Because this is a big leap to take one's essence from the grossest body and to place it in consciousness, to say, I am abstract, intangible consciousness. And consciousness is to accept the fact that consciousness is the only substance and everything else in the world is non-substantial. It's a big blow. Okay, a big blast actually. And it's very difficult to accept it. And then to shift the essence from the body, grossest body, to this consciousness is not an easy joke. Therefore, Upanishad wants to help us, to make our minds subtle. The gross mind has to become subtle. Therefore, it shows us at every level, it shows how there is no such thing called individual in reality. There is only the whole. Okay, there is only the whole. And what is individual? Even the whole also you have to resolve later on. There is only individual. There is no individual. Now for us, every individual is so real. Individuality is very much real. The individual, the individuality, everything is non-substantial. So the individuality has to be resolved in totality, which is Ishvara. And in this context, I want to tell you one thing, because before going to the new topic, I have to explain these words, Satyam Gyanam Anantam Brahma. I remember that very well, but not now. Because it's a different, separate class, that is 10 classes only for Satyam Gyanam Anantam Brahma. I want to finish this, then I want to go back to that. So here you have to understand what is the difference between totality when you say the whole, when you say Ishvara, Brahman when you say the reality. What is the difference between Brahman and Ishvara? Brahma, Ishvara is two words. Ishvaraha Brahma. The reality is Brahma, Ishvara is the totality, the whole. Ishvara is Brahma, but Brahma is not Ishvara. Ishvara is Brahma, but Brahma is not Ishvara. See, Brahman, when you say, it is pure consciousness existence. Pure consciousness existence is Brahman. manifest consciousness existence is Ishvara. The whole universe is what now? Manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, manifest existence is nothing but manifest knowledge. The knowledge and existence manifest is Ishvara, pure is Brahma. You got the difference now? So, for this consciousness existence to become manifest, to have the status of being the Ishvara, what should it do? The power of consciousness, the potentiality, the power of consciousness, unmanifest, it is pure consciousness. The power becomes manifest, the power is expressed, Ishvara. When you show your power, you are Ishvara. When you don't show your power, you are Brahma. When you get married, become a father, you're a father. Otherwise, you're a simple man. Become a father, express. Is it? So the power should become expressed. The power expressed, where is the power? The potentiality, the shakti of Chaitanyam itself. The power of consciousness, the power inseparable from consciousness is what now? Expressed, it becomes a manifesting medium. It is resolved, then there is pure consciousness. So, Shakti velipattal Ishwaran, Shakti odinginal Brahma. Is it clear now? Yes, the power is expressed, power becomes manifest, then the very power manifest, power becomes the manifestation of Brahma. The power becomes resolved. The power is not destroyed, okay? The power becomes manifest, power becomes resolved. Power becomes manifest, power becomes resolved. When the power is manifest, no? Power is manifest, then what now? Consciousness becomes what now? Manifest. The power is resolved, then consciousness is what now? Pure consciousness. The power is expressed, the manifest, then there is Ishwaratvam, the status of being the Lord. The power is resolved, pure consciousness, without the Lordship, without the Ishwaratvam. When you go to office, you're a staff there. When you come back, qualification goes. It's only qualification, addition of qualification. Ishvara is what now? Qualification, status. The status, when does it come? One has to show one's power, okay? How big you are, you have to show your power. Then only you become a Lord. One's power has to become expressed. Got it now? Ishvara, Brahman, there's a difference. Therefore, Ishvaraha, the whole prapancha is what now? A manifestation of power of consciousness. How powerful the consciousness is. How powerful the consciousness is. We do not know, when you put a simple flame here, then they light the lamp. Nice simple flame, doesn't illuminate anything, just simply there. Okay? We can see this as a lamp. When we see the forest fire, we know the power of the fire. How powerful the fire is. What the power fire can do. The power of the fire. Oh my God, how powerful the fire is. When you see here, you don't understand really how powerful the fire is. Even now we know a little bit, but still. we don't really see that. Similarly, how powerful the consciousness is. When the prapancha is manifest, the whole prapancha is what? Manifestation of the dormant shakti of consciousness. The power, dormant power, becomes dominant, the prapancha becomes manifest. The power becomes dormant, prapancha becomes resolved. Dormant power expressed dominant power. Does it exist outside of consciousness? No. But this power, you cannot say power is not there without which this manifestation is not possible. And the power is there by itself also. You cannot count it as a second reality. Because because the power has no independent existence. You cannot talk about the power of anything, power of the burning, power of the fire, you know, wiping power of the water. You can't talk about it separate. No, power doesn't exist outside of something.
Hello?
It's inseparable. Therefore, we say this power, because it is inseparable from its substance. And we say, how many substances are there? The only substance is consciousness, which is the existence of the power, which is the existence of the dormant power, which is the existence of the manifest power also. Manifest power is the prapancha. Dormant power is Maya. But why this power is called Maya? Ya Ma Sa Maya. I'm preparing ground for that explanation, okay? Ya Ma Sa Maya. That which is not by itself is called Maya. Shakti is not by itself. I'm teaching something very subtle, very important. Hope you understand that. Because you think something as though we're separating and then matter and all that. The subtlest power, inseparable from consciousness, is the original matter. Okay? And that subtlest power being the subtlest matter, if you can understand, the mind can grasp from that power, mind becomes qualified to comprehend the very consciousness, the powerful consciousness. Okay, therefore, this is the difference between Ishvara and Brahma. Parampurul Iraivan. No? What is the difference? Reality, Ishvara, the Lord. This Ishvaratvam, the status of being the Lord. The consciousness enjoys only when its power becomes manifest. The power is not manifest, then consciousness is there as pure consciousness existence. Its potentiality doesn't become expressed, revealed. Then Brahma. This is the difference. Therefore here, this is the power. And the mind has to comprehend that subtlest power. Understand that. Then only it is qualified, eligible to understand even consciousness. That is why this panchakosha prakriya. Understand? Starts from the gross body. Therefore, Ishvara is what? No, total manifestation of power is what? No, total expression of power is the prapancha. Means that is why in different levels the same power is manifest, what now, in different levels.
the grossest level, subtle level, subtler level, much subtler level, you know. That is why the Shakti, the grossest, the subtle level, any Shakti is what now? Has no independent existence, is always pervaded by consciousness, we say. Therefore, this individuality, for us the individual is so real. For us individuality is very real. And no, I am an individual. I means your essence is very strongly rooted in this physical body. And suddenly comes and tells, oh, Tatattvamasi, you are Brahman. I thought I am a body, I am a Brahman. Okay. Will we go over happily or what? It is not that easy to understand. That is why Panchakosha Prakriya. Come on, where is the individual? What is an individual? Understand first of all. What is an individual? A individual is what now? It is a composition of many aspects. We had it Tattvabodha very well. Gross body, subtle body, causal body, then Atma. All Atma, the self. All of them together constitute the individual. That means what is a gross body? It is an individual. Does it have any individuality? Which has individuality? Does the gross body have, or subtle body have, or does the causal body have individuality, or Atma has individuality? What, which of these components, you know, has individuality? Therefore, Upanishad wants to help us see at every level there is no such thing called individuality. That individuality has to be knocked off first. And what is what now? That's called what now? Mahabali. Now Mahabali? Mahabalihi means the greatest offering. The ignorant people, now we go and give bali to Bhagavan. Adu, madu, goat, and all that. Bhagavan, Mahabali is just ego has to be, that's why coconut. Breaking a coconut is what now? Strong ego. Break it with a big hammer, jnana hammer. You know? Jnana means the only hammer can break that ahankara. Ahankara means what now? Understanding nothing in the world has substantiality. Okay, everything is non-substantial. And for understanding, the only substance is Atma, Brahma, Chaitanyam. This is the fact we have to understand, which is moksha. There is no moksha otherwise. It is not that easy for this buddhi to comprehend this fact. So start from the individuality has to be now. No, individuality cannot be, you know, the ahankara can be resolved at subtlest level. You know, first it has to start from what now? Sthulam level. That is why we see this physical body an individual body. What is the difference here? That's why we start with now, resolve the individual physical body in the total gross matter. Which is called what now? First you understand the Annamayaha as the Annamaya, Atma, and thereafter you see the total gross universe and this individual gross body are essentially one, what now? Product of gross elements. When you understand this, what do? This becomes resolved not physically, cognitively resolve this physical body. This body has no independent existence outside of the total gross matter. It's a big thing because no wave can exist by itself. No, the whole ocean, I'm alone here. All the waves have gone for a holiday. I'm sitting alone here. Like that, no wave can say and say it exists there. Okay? It's impossible. For one wave to be there, all the waves must be there. And wherever the waves go for a halt also must be within the ocean only, not outside of it. There is no outside. Halt day going only within that world. That is why you are never alone. Okay, never, there's no such thing called individual wave existing. That is why we say every individual wave is dependent on the total ocean for its existence. It is not outside of the whole. This gross body also is what now? Not, that is why we say it's the karyam. The total is always looked upon as the karanam. There's no cause actually. Understand? The total is said to be cause, is the individual is called karyam, because individual is part of the total. It cannot exist. When there's everything is a whole, means the whole cannot be whole minus any individual, any one thing. Part of the whole. When you understand, oh, this, that means I am thinking, I am this physical body only of which is of this weight. This weight has to be what now? All the 80 has to be into infinite. Infinite matter, it has to be resolved. You can't measure how many kilos outside. Only this can be weighed, and the 80 or 60 or 50, 90, 20, 100, it has to be resolved in total infinite matter. Finished. Where is Ahankara now? Where is Ahankara? Do you see that now? It is just in the class itself. You know, you have your made to, forcefully drag your essence from the body. Don't you see that? Then Upanishad says, okay, now it is kosha. It is not atma, it is the koshaha. Sharira means koshaha. It's like kosha means what now? It's anatma. It is not the atma. Then you take it as what? Then pranamayaha. Pranamayaha is intangible, subtler functions. All just the powers actually. Are the powers, functions. These functions are imperceptible but understandable. Therefore, the subtle physiological functions also, pranas also. And is there individual prana separately sitting alone by itself? There is no individual prana. It is part of the samashti prana shakti only. Individual prana shakti is what now? Part of the samashti prana shakti. It is called Hiranyagarbha. When you see the samashti prana shakti and vyashti prana, there is no such thing called vyashti prana shakti at all, in fact. There is only prana shakti, total prana shakti, and where the division is now made as a samashti and vyashti. There is only samashti prana shakti. You understand this vyashti prana shakti also. Vyashti prana shakti, vyashti pranaha becomes what now? Cognitively resolved, is you understand the resolvability of the vyashti prana in total prana, Hiranyagarbha. First you understand this pranamayaha as the atma, then later on it resolves in the total prana shakti, then you say, oh, where is individual prana? Then again, what now? It is anatma. It is kosha. First you see it as atma, then kosha, anatma. Thereafter you go to manomaya. Manomayaha also is what? Manomayaha, atma. Whenever pranamayaha, manomayaha, annamayaha, the maya, mayat affix, mayat, two means are there, vikar arte, prachuri arte. Vikar arte means vikar, mayat affix is used in sense of modification. Therefore, every individual thing is what now? Modification of or the part of, the product of what now? The totality. Okay? Samashti annasya, is it? Annamayaha is part of samashti annam. Pranamayaha is part of samashti prana. Manomayaha is part of the samashti manaha. Total mind. There is no total thinking power. Total thinking power. Now, talk about prana shakti. The powers of functions. The power of functions. What now? There is no individual power. Okay, the total power. understand this today. I'm just repeating this. The total manifest power of functions, all the physiological functions, any function you see, what now? It's all power. Manifestation of Shakti. Prana Shakti. The functions, the power, see, the Shakti manifest as the power of functions. Again, the power of thinking is what now? It's another much subtler function. Thinking, isn't it? Feeling, desiring, or that power. That power of mentation, you say, that power, again, what now? This is called individual power, okay? So, total mind. It is something very subtle. Even this is subtle thing, understanding. Don't you see this? Even this itself, you understand there is no individual mind separately. It's a part of the total cosmic mind, Hiranyagarbha. Can you see this? Even this itself, subtle understanding. See, you are resolving the individuality at the mind level first. Leave alone consciousness level, okay? Try to resolve the individual mind in cosmic mind at the mind level. A thinking power level. Can you resolve it? That itself is very subtle thing to do. You see that? You see how it is? Then you understand, even whether you understood or not, but Upanishad, we take it for granted that we have understood. Then we are going to next. Upanishad doesn't want us to go to next layer of personality if you have not understood this. It must be very clear for you, yes, there is no individual Deha. It is what now? There is only total gross matter. Which is manifest as total gross forms. Which is also what now? Gross, the manifestation of power only. That same subtlest power alone now is manifest as what now? The grossest matter. The grossest matter alone appearing in all these different forms. And you go to next level again, the Prana Shakti, subtle power, manifestation of subtle power, which the power which is then is all the whole samashti, the samagra prapancha, the entire universe, wherever you see function, wherever you see life, wherever you see functions, and there are functions, wherever you see functions, they're all what now? Shakti is manifest. It's a power. In every life form, there is a manifest power. You understand first manifest power, then we go to the consciousness, okay? You can't see, again, the subtle power you can't see. Look at this. You can't see subtle power. You understand subtle power as what? Your own subtle power is what now? Is the proof. I am able to see is the proof that there is a subtle power manifest. Do you understand what I am saying? You are seeing. I am seeing. I am hearing. I am smelling. I am tasting. That means I have the power to see. That power is what again? Is a proof that the power being manifest. How can I know there's a power manifest? You are able to see itself is what now? The proof for the power being manifest, Shakti being manifest. Understand the same Shakti is not just only here. It cannot just be only here, okay? The whole prapancha, wherever you see any life form, all functions, wherever you see functions, there is power manifest. Therefore, there is a total prana shakti, the same way the total manashakti. It's a total cosmic mind also. What is mind again? Mind also is matter. See, I'm reducing everything to matter only. Okay, mind also is subtle matter. Prana is subtle matter. Body is gross matter. Prana is subtle matter. Subtler matter is the mind. The thinking power is manifest as what? All this, you know, total minds. There's no such thing as individual thinking power, okay? Mind. If we resolve this individual mind, total mind, again what now? This what that meant, mental power level also you are resolving it. This individuality is resolved in totality. How do you resolve? Not physically, cognitively. How do you resolve individuality in totality at every level? Understanding the essential oneness. Essentially, how the individual mind is one with the total mind. Essentially, individual mind and the total mind are essentially one. Subtler thinking power. Then we go to Vijnanamayaha, the manifest. That is where first what happened now? Knowledge, understanding, cognition, perception, all this, no? All slightly different from each other. That knowledge, jnanam, knowledge, anything you know in your buddhi, that knowledge also is what? A power of knowing. Knowing power, jnana shakti, manifest. There are subtle matter. Matter, vijnanamaya atma, we say it's matter. Can you see? You can't understand Vijnanamaya. Vijnanamaya, the buddhihi is matter. Buddhihi, buddhi shakti, the power of knowing is matter. Shakti is matter. The power, knowing power is manifest is buddhi. Think power manifest is mind. The power for functioning manifest is our pranas. The power, you know, as a abode manifests the grass, abode is the physical body. So the thinking, their buddhi shakti, power of knowing, jnana shakti is also what now? Alone is manifest as your intellect. Much subtler again. Subtler than even the manashakti, buddhi shakti. And does it exist independently, your knowing power? Which alone, without which power? Without which power? There cannot be knower, there cannot be enjoyer, there cannot be doer also. It is no knowing power manifest. Then where is, how can you know? We cannot desire, there cannot be desirer, there cannot be doer, there cannot be enjoyer also. Therefore, this buddhi shakti, vijnana maya, buddhi itself is what now? It is vijnana maya, mayaha, which is atma. We take it as Atma first. No, I am the Vijnanamayaha. Atma. Vijnanamaya is Atma first. Why do you say Maya? Because there is no thing called Vijnanam, separate is sitting. Maya means part of the whole, product of something. Maya. There is no individual knowing power alone sitting. No, my power, okay, the power is sitting elsewhere. Just think, this is, no, it's a lot of making you see it differently. I had to do this, only then this Panchakosha Prakriya is, I have really done it, otherwise I had not done it. So, Vijnanamayaha. Vijnana mayaha, we say vijnanam is what now? Knowledge. And what is knowledge? What is cognition? You say vritti. What is that vritti? The word vritti is a sound. When you think of anything, any word comes out, makes you think only of something gross. Vijnanam, knowledge, is subtlest manifestation, a subtle manifestation of, much subtler manifestation of the knowing power. The power of knowing is manifest as the buddhi. And this also what? No, there is no individual buddhi, okay? There is a total cosmic buddhi. No, there is a the cosmic macro no jnana shakti. Cosmic buddhi, which is again what? Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, there is no vijnanamaya atma, okay? Vijnanamaya is what now? Product of, part of the total samashti vijnanam brahma, Hiranyagarbha. At every level, you resolve the individuality in totality. Every time you resolve the individuality at every level in totality, you have to shift your essence choicelessly. This is called what now? Anatma darshanav. Atma, is it? The anatma darshanam. You see this vijnanamaya also as anatma, the kosha. Because it is part of the total. Individuality is this is what is at every level you see the essential oneness of the individual and the total, thereby resolve the individual in total cognitively, intellectually. That is called what now? Ahankara. Okay? Ahankara Nasha. And Ahankara Nasha, you cannot do it overnight. You cannot do it immediately. That is why our Swamiji's language, Ahankara is fat, strongest Rakshasa. And Rakshasa with the, you know, strongest fellow, with all like the person who goes to gym and then all strong, and then first put him to starvation, okay? Make his Ahankara starve for many days, and then what? Make him weak, thin, and then go and beat him, he will easy to kill him. How to make Ahankara thin? This is what? Okay, Panchakosha Prakriya. Every prakriya, at every level, Ahankara becomes thinner, 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 and thinner. Not only you are saying, I am not there. You see everything as Ishvara. Understand now, Ishvara is law, not understand this. See, Ishvara concept, you understand so beautiful it is. Every level you see Ishvara. When you say Samashti, it is Ishvara. What is Virat? Ishvara. Samashti Sthula. What is now? Vyashti is resolved in Samashti Sthula. Vyashti Prana is resolved in Samashti Prana, Hiranyagarbha, Hiranyishvara, Brahma. Vyashti Manaha is resolved in Samashti Manaha, Brahma, Ishvara, Virat, Hiranyagarbha. Vyashti Vijnanamaya is resolved in Samashti Vijnanam, Ishvara, Hiranyagarbha. What is there now? Only Ishvara. You have to say that. Am I? No. What is Ishvara? This is called what now? Your identity is with Ishvara now. Total. Total means Ishvara. Identity is with the individual body, mind, complex, then only individuality, which is only ignorance. Only in Ajnanam, individuality is possible. In Jnanam, there is only Ishvara Drishti. Ishvara. I want you to understand Ishvara, because people don't take Ishvara for granted, okay? What do you think? Ishvara is such a beautiful thing, concept. You have to understand this. You can never understand what Brahman is if you don't understand the Ishvara. Why I am saying? Because this is what Ishvara according to Upanishads. The total is Ishvara, isn't it? Then from Vijnanamaya also what now? Subtle matter, then even much subtler layer of personality is there. Much subtler.
ஆனந்தமயா. ஆனந்தமயா ஆத்மா, நான் எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸ், நான் எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸ், எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸ் இஸ் விஞ்ஞானமயா. Non-experience is not non-existence. Understand? Non-experience is what? Anandamaya. Non-experience is much subtlest matter. Okay? Blankness of mind is what? Mind in deep sleep state, understand Vijnanandamaya, analyzing your deep sleep state. In deep sleep, what is Anandamaya? What is Anandaha? Anandamaya Atma, you take even that is I, that is, there also you have I sense. Anandamaya Atma, you take it as Anandamaya as the Atma I, without knowing. You say, I slept also. So, Anandamaya is what? A state of mind. Non-experience itself is state of mind. Why only experience is state of mind? Absence of experience also is state of mind. Blankness of mind. When the mind is blank, the blankness of mind is not nothingness, it is subtlest matter. That is the subtlest power. There is total ignorance. The total ignorance, don't take it for granted. It is Mula Vidya. It is Mula Vidya. It is Avidya. Ajnanam is what? Shakti. There is total ignorance. I do not know I am. I do not know, of course, who I am also. I cannot know who I am. But I am. That is total ignorance, which is a state of mind, which is experienced by you in deep sleep state, which you cannot talk about when you are asleep. That blankness of mind, non-experience, is also what? Subtlest matter. Can you understand that as a matter first? Let me think of. Upanishad says, don't go to Atma now, okay, Brahman. First, understand this. That's all subtlest matter. Blankness of mind is a subtlest matter. Matter in subtlest form. And this subtlest matter, avidya, which is there as individual, okay, you do not know you are. That's how you understand the Anandamaya. In deep sleep state, there is ignorance. Total ignorance. Deep sleep state is what? Ignorance being total is deep sleep state. There is no knowledge I am. Aham asmi jnanam is not there. Idam asti jnanam also is not possible. This world is. Jnanam is not there. Aham asmi, knowledge is not. Aham idam. Okay, both. The knowledge is not there. Total ignorance. Total ignorance is the subtlest matter. Blankness of mind is also what? Form of subtlest matter. You cannot understand much subtler power than that. That upadhi you need. Okay, blankness of mind, and in total ignorance there is bliss experience also is there. That bliss also is what? What is bliss? What is total ignorance? Subtlest matter. in total ignorance, there is total painlessness, sorrowlessness. Complete non-disturbance.
This way, we all love sleep so much. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, we hate anybody waking us up. Even if next time night, you are just off.
That state of mind is matter, subtlest matter, intangible. If you can put any more superlative degree, I can use it. Okay? That Anandamayaha is also what? Not the Atma. Anatma. Why? Because it is part of the total subtlest power, Maya. Same Maya gets the name Avidya, which is available for experience for an individual. Even nobody can really understand. That is why it's called anirvachaniya. Anirvachaniya means what? Inexplicable. Oh my God, I cannot say this power is not at all there. Nor can I say this power is very much real because it has no independent existence. Therefore, it is anirvachaniya, inexplicable. The anandamayaha is part of what now? Avidya is not maya because it is part of the total maya shakti, total power. Where is the individuality? Now, can you say, now we have I sense in this individual body, mind, sense complex, and so strongly rooted. Having I sense is not a problem. No, but I sense being rooted in this is what now? Only in ignorance individuality is possible. So Upanishad says, individuality is possible. Individuality means what now? Being, accepting or be the accepting the individual as real is what? Individuality is possible only in ignorance. In viveka, in jnanam, where is this? You can't really physically resolve the individuality in totality, but individuality can be resolved in totality what now? Cognitively, which is what now? Becoming one with Ishvara. Understand? What does it mean with becoming one with Ishvara? Do you ever become one with Ishvara? Our Puja Swamiji used to tell, as all of us work and meditate, and we had to work very, very hard, and then go to Kailasam and Vaikuntham or other heaven and go and sit at the feet of the Lord, massaging his feet. This will never happen. This Swamiji says all these things, okay, just to make his class little. This is becoming one with Ishvara means seeing the essential oneness of the individual and the total at every level. Okay, now where can I place I? The whole body, prana, mind, intellect, even your ignorance. The total ignorance, okay? The blankness, the non-experienced state of mind, resolved as
reduced as matter and dissolved in total matter, totality. This is what becoming one with Ishvara, cognitively resolving the individuality in totality. Now Upanishad says, if you have analyzed well, understood well, that essentially individual and the total being one and the same at every level, you are able to digest this fact, now you can proceed towards what? Next. What is next? No more layer of personality. There is Ananda Atma. What is that which is different from, distinct from even this blankness, avidya, the ignorance also? That because of the presence of which the ignorance becomes experienced. Ignorance is an object of experience. Blankness is an object of experience, which you are able to recollect on waking up. There is memory. In deep sleep state, experience is there. And that experience is what now? Becomes stored in your memory, which you are able to recollect on waking up, saying, I slept well. Okay? Therefore, the one who recognizes the I, one who recollects the memory of the experience, is very much there, even beyond that layer of personality, avidya, anandamaya. A anandamaya also is anatma, koshaha, nadhyatma, and atma is what now? Anandaha is atma. Look at this now, we put it differently. We don't say atma is anandaha. Anandaha is atma. Ananda Atma. So happiness, fullness is what now? Anandaha Atma. What is it, Ananda Atma? Say Chaitanyam, pure consciousness, and which is pure existence also. There is no such a thing called pure existence other than pure consciousness. There is no such a thing called pure consciousness other than pure existence. One and the same. The pure consciousness, the pure existence is free from all limitations. And what is subject to these limitations? This annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya, anandamaya, they all subject to limitations, not the atma. Now you are distinguishing the pure consciousness. Okay? Where can you place your I now? You are not placing, you know, you are not saying I am consciousness also. I also becomes resolved in consciousness. I cannot be resolved in matter. Understand now? The individual body becomes resolved in total matter. Individual prana becomes resolved in total prana. Individual mind becomes resolved in total mind. Individual vijnanam becomes resolved in total vijnanam. Individual anandamaya becomes resolved in total maya shakti. Avidya becomes resolved in maya. This is what now, the individual matter, material products become resolved in total matter power. And therefore now I is sitting there, no? I sense has been resolved where now? Consciousness. Consciousness is Atma. Atma is Brahman, the existence of the universe. You've equated now. Okay, Atma, the consciousness, pure consciousness, is the pure existence which is manifest as the existence of the universe. Brahma. Is it clear now? What is Ishwar, what is pure exist, what is this? The whole universe is what now? How is Brahman in the universe? Brahman is in the form of the existence of the universe. That existence of the universe without the universe is what? Pure existence. Minus universe, pure existence. With the universe, manifest existence. Like mirror is brought in front of me, reflected face. Mirror is taken away, original face. Original face is there when the reflection is. Original face continues to be there when the reflection is not there also. Okay, wake up. Original face is there when the reflecting medium is there. Original face is there when the reflecting medium, the mirror is not there also. With the reflection, original face is. Without reflection also, original face is. Okay. So existence, what a pure existence is, as the manifest existence in the presence of the universe. The pure existence is without being manifest also when the universe is not. Is it clear? Existence is there always as what now? The pure existence is always pure. As pure consciousness, it is there. Pure existence remains as pure consciousness. It is there when the universe is, it is there as manifest consciousness. Manifest consciousness, manifest knowledge, manifest existence. When the universe is not there, pure consciousness, pure knowledge, pure existence. Simple. Is it clear now? The prapanchaha asti, then there is what? Manifest consciousness, manifest knowledge, manifest existence. When the universe is not, there is pure consciousness, pure existence. When there is universe, is there pure consciousness? Of course, pure consciousness is, without which manifestation of consciousness is not possible. Is it clear? Hope I have made it very clear. I see so clearly. I also think I made you see it clearly. Shakti virindal ulagam, shakti odinginal, shivane nirukkirudhu. In Tamil we have a beautiful expression. Shivane nir. Mean what now? Just be quiet, okay, to say that. Yes, that. Be quiet and calm to say that. Say, Shivane Nir. That means what?
resolve your power, remain yourself. That's the meaning. Something you, I don't know why you use that expression. I don't know. Something very, there's something nice. Just be yourself. So, we cannot do anything. Here, just to see, you're so objective now. How you see this? I have to make this clear. Therefore, now we can say, the whole, what is that, this reality, the reality, the existence, the consciousness, which is self-existent, self-evident, and which lends existence and sentiency to the whole prapancha. And is this not, is there prapancha outside of consciousness? No. Is there prapancha anything outside of existence? No. Understand? That's why we say what? The whole prapancha is Brahma. The whole is Ishvara. Manifest consciousness, existence, knowledge is Ishvara. The resolved consciousness, existence, what now? Resolved means the pure consciousness, existence means the Shakti is resolved. Maya, when this Shakti, resolved Shakti is called Maya, manifest Shakti is Prapancha. Shakti is resolved Brahma, Shakti is manifest Ishvara. Exhibit, Shakti becomes exhibited. It's typically like somebody comes, you know, somebody has money, how do you know? No, in India, I said, not Indian level, okay? You had to wear all the rings and all the jewelry and then all silk and then pomp and show off. That is showing off, isn't it? You show off, then you are rich. If you don't show off, even if you have, you are poor. If you show off, even if you don't have, you are rich. Like that is what now? If you show off your power, Ishvara. Don't show off Brahma. Don't mistake, okay? I hope you don't misunderstand it. I'm just exhibiting your Shakti. I'm not saying that. I just want to understand this. Hope I didn't confuse you with last my examples. Okay, that's Anandaha. Suppose. Now next question comes, important question. Upanishad says, Anandaha Atma. Happiness. No, happiness means what now? In total knowledge where there is no dukkham at all. Consciousness is completely untouched by any pain. Why? Every pain is mind, okay? Thought only. Any pain, any dukkham is sorrow, grief, any degree of pain is what? Thought. And matter. And consciousness is what now? Pure consciousness is untouched by any thought. That's why that consciousness is Anandaha. Anandaha Atma. Sorrowlessness is the nature of the Atma. Happiness is the nature of the Swarupa of the Atma. That is how Atma is. Consciousness is happiness. Atma is happiness. So you are happiness. You are happy means pleasure, state of mind. Happiness is the noun. You are the noun. Happiness. But then the problem is we want to experience that happiness. There comes the problem. We want to experience happiness. Upanishad says you can never experience happiness. Why? Happiness is not an object of knowledge. That is why how much are we sit in meditation, try to experience happiness, you experience maximum bliss, which is an experience, not, I don't know, that bliss experience is anything experience or experienced is a state of mind which is time bound, which comes and goes. Whereas happiness is not a state of mind, not an experience, not an experienced state of mind also, not experienceable also. Okay, happiness is not experienceable, not experiential. It is not an experience because it is not an object, not available for objectification. Therefore, as we all the time we are trying to experience ananda. I hope you all remember, Swamiji says, it is like the sun and darkness wanting to meet each other. Swamiji says, I hope you remember the beautiful the joke, Miss Darkness, and wants to marry the sun, beautiful, handsome man, and it goes after, she goes searching for him, by the time she goes and he goes other, whatever word, never happens. Why? Because, you know, why? Because it will never happen, because happiness is not an object of experience. But whatever meditation you do, it is an action, mental activity, time-bound in nature, can never help you experience happiness. You can, in as a result of that hard work of meditation, you can maximum experience what? Fraction of fullness. Fraction of happiness, which is bliss, or which is fraction, it's only fraction of fullness is what? Full happiness is fullness. Pleasure is fraction of fullness, which is experienceable. Fraction you can experience. And to experience the fraction, what you should do? Experience of fraction of fullness, happiness is what? Which is a pleasure. What happens? You have to forget yourself. You have to be off. Eye-sense goes as long as you can resolve the eye-sense. You can keep your eye-sense resolved or you can forget yourself. Eye-sense is forgotten for some time. So long there will be a state of mind which is called pleasure. Okay? Or the highest form of pleasure is what you can say? Bliss. What is bliss? You don't be there, okay? You are not there. You knock off, Swamiji says, you knock off yourself and what is there is bliss. In sleep, what do? You knock yourself off. What do you have? Bliss. You don't need to work very hard, meditate, and samadhi is what? Consciously you knock yourself off. Then what you have is bliss, experience. Okay, never ever mistake the bliss, samadhi, experience for anandaha. That is not moksha. Okay, temporary relief like sleep. But you have to work hard for that. Okay, bliss is not that you have to all them sit and then focus on something. Okay, meditation is not an easy joke. You all know that very well. See, yoga shastram, we accept many things. But this samadhi business, we okay. Samadhi is not enlightenment. Samadhi is not moksha. Samadhi is not jnanam also. Samadhi is just putting all the thoughts to sleep consciously. All the thoughts are resolved. So what? I am, thought also is resolved. Then what is there? The condition of mind that obtains for length of time, as long as I sense resolved, is what? A sort of pleasure, sort of bliss. In pleasure, there will be slight essence, everything else will be forgot. The whole jagat will be knocked off, little essence will be there, savikalpa samadhi. It's of any pleasure, including anything you read. Sometimes you read books, totally you lose yourself. Yesterday, actually, Eliza, Peterji sent out Eliza's, for me, at the her website or something. She's an artist. And in her artist statement, in that she mentioned very clearly, so beautiful it was. And she really understood it. I mean, I see how an object of totally holds your attention. Anything you do becomes object of your attention. Any action you do, whether it's painting, that is why art is so nice. People love art, fine art. Oh, fine art. Why it is fine art? The pencil is grass, the person is grass, everything is grass. Fine art means because the attention is needed so much, it draws your attention. It totally holds your attention. The music, all the melodies totally hold your attention. The alapanam, the more you listen to music, gamakam, alapanam, the all things, it totally, you see the nuances, differences and modulations, you totally grasp. Similarly, in any fine art, the dance, I'm not talking about jumping these days, okay? I'm talking about our classical Indian dance. The dance also, you know, the way the person expresses the meaning of the words, abhinaya, because of non-verbal communication there, every word is expressed through abhinaya, and you absorb, you know, the attention is totally held. Fine art. And also this drawing, the painting, all these arts, no, the person does it when we are so conscious that the person one who performs the art, you know, exhibits the talent, also the person who enjoys the art. For both of them, the art has what? No, art is an excellent object. It can, if you have eye and ear for art, okay? It's a grass means and it will take janmas. The subtle mind means, because, I mean, that appreciation of art needs some subtleness of mind. So then it absorbs, you're totally engrossed. What happens? You forget yourself. 3 hours in Nardagana Sabha, Kacheri, we sit, we forget. If you love music, you just forget yourself. The same thing happens when you go to tell movie, you know, the cinemas, watch films, and a story, whether it is a happy story or unhappy story, of the hero and the heroine, and you watch, you forget completely your story. You that story becomes the real story. My attention is held totally by that movie. What happens now? You are lost. That is pleasure. Any object which holds your attention totally, then you forget yourself. That is what is what now? Pleasure, experience. That is samadhi also is such experience only. So pleasure or bliss, different degrees of pleasures, isn't it? You say it's all what now? Any degree of pleasure is a fraction of fraction of fullness. Any pleasure, any degree of pleasure is a manifestation of fraction of fullness. Which is experience. I'm seeing very clearly, so I'm not thinking I'm making you see also. Do you see this? That is why fullness cannot be experienced. Fraction is experienceable. Fraction is pleasure, is a fraction. Bliss also is what now? You know, it's the highest degree of pleasure.
But any pleasure, any amount of pleasure, any pleasure is what? Any degree of pleasure is manifestation of the fraction of totality of happiness or fullness, the happiness. And we try to seek, what now? Fullness through pleasure. That is the problem. And the fraction of fullness as pleasure, you know, the manifestation of fullness as a fraction pleasure is possible only when, only the condition is there, there's a manifestation. The condition is goes, it won't be manifest. So when the, understand now, there's a given condition, the fraction of fullness, what now? Which is manifest. The condition changes, the fraction goes, resolves. When it resolves, what happened now? Happiness is always there as fullness. The manifest pleasure, what now? Goes and comes. Do you see this? Today I'm talking explaining the one word Ananda Atma. I hope you're understanding. I'm not talking something outside of Upanishad. Where I started last class, I did the Panchakosha Prakriya I was doing. I've come to the word Ananda Atma. Because yesterday, same question Belinda and Jan were asking me. How to experience that happiness? Now I've answered your question. And this is a natural question for anybody. Any spiritual seeker asks this. Okay, how can I experience happiness? Are you the experiencer or happiness? Any pleasure is what? Manifestation of fraction of yourself. Fullness. It's very abstract. Okay? Therefore, what is Ananda? Ananda Atma Brahma Puccham Pratishtha Tadapyesha Shloko Bhavati. What is Brahma Puccham here? What is Ananda Atma means? Is Atma the consciousness existence which is of the nature of happiness? Which is happiness is nothing but fullness. Fullness is happiness. Why? It is nothing which is not filled by consciousness, yet pervaded by consciousness. Therefore we say, what is there is only consciousness existence which is fullness. Therefore, that is what is happiness. Okay? Recognizing the Atma being fullness is what? In that, the happiness. Therefore, there's no happiness which is experienceable. It's only something to be understood. Atma Swarupam being happiness has to be understood. Therefore, and Brahma Atma is consciousness existence, consciousness which is available for now. You arrived at as what? Knocking off all these layers of personality, not physically, cognitively, and seeing the essentially oneness, you know, in the totality also. You arrive at what is there, even the Anandamaya also is matter, means what is there because of which these other all matter, layers of personality or objects of knowledge. What is there available as experiencer is consciousness, the Atma, that is Anandaha. And that consciousness is Brahman. Brahma Puccham Pratishtha. There Brahman is the support. Atma, here when you say, Brahman is not a support of the Atma, it is like saying, please understand here. If you say, Mahakasha is a support for the Ghatakasha, what does it mean? Is there really supporting? Is Mahakasha supporting Ghatakasha? No. Ghatakasha is not there, only Akasha. From the standpoint of Ghata, you say Ghatakasha, Mahakasha. Therefore, understand, you say the difference.
really speaking, he's not supported. Support difference also is not there between Mahakasha and Ghatakasha. Pot space and this space, total space. Similarly, there is no such a thing called Brahman is support of the Atma. Brahman and Atma are one and the same. Atma is Brahma. Therefore, we say what? Brahma Puccham Pratishta. This Atma, which is available for recognition as pure consciousness, you know, even as the observer of this subtlest state of matter, that Atma Chaitanyam is what? Alone is pure existence, which is available always as the manifest existence, as existence of the prapancha. Brahma Puccham Pratishtha Tadapyesha Shloko Bhavati. Now, here ends the Panchakosha Prakriya. And here, what happens? When the Brahman Upanishad ends, the mantra, again, Rig Mantra comes into the picture. Why Rig Mantra is going to say something now? Why Rig Mantra says, when we say happiness is non-experienceable, cannot be experienced, when we say, immediately what we think, if something cannot be experienced, our minds are so gross, immediately we'll conclude there is no Brahman. There's no Brahman, there is no happiness. There's no Brahman, there's no Atma, there's no reality. What is there is only non-existence. What is there is emptiness, void, shunyam. Why does a person come to the conclusion shunyam is the Atma? Because void is the Atma. Because happiness is non-experienceable. If something is not available for objectification experience, anything I cannot experience, it is non-existent for me. Isn't it? Therefore, it is possible for one to come to that conclusion immediately. If anybody says Atma is shunyam, that person is denying his own existence. He becomes a non-existent. A person says Atma is, no, Satyam is, Brahman is, happiness is, then that person becomes what? Dharmavan. That person alone is existent. The one who for whom Atma is real and existent, he alone is existent. He alone is Dharmavan. Okay? Otherwise, and here an interesting three questions come. Very interesting questions come. Unfortunately, I can't do three questions. Athado, no, the prashna. Very interesting question by an intelligent student. Intelligent student. But I can't go ahead with that. It will be too much also for you. It will go above the head. The time also is not there. So, and it's also good for us to go and worship in the temple, pray once in a while, participate. So, let's all go. Now, you know Ishvara. You go in a Ishvara. Okay? All the layers of personality are what there? The temple stands for all the layers of personality. Pancha koshas, right from the gate, okay? And you go into their murti alone is what? Ananda Atma. You go with a different attitude now. From the gate onwards, different layers of personality. And the murti there is what? Atma. Ananda Atma. Brahma Puccham Pratishtha. That's where we are going. Go and see. So I'll just encourage for other people. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tatsate Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.